If you will, open God's Word to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Focus of this passage is on marriage, and it is on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this passage is a key to the divine institution of marriage. It is the formula for successful marriage, but it's something more than that. It teaches us about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for His bride. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Paul's instruction to wives and husbands is found in this passage. And we want to begin with the husband this morning and see some things there, and then go on to the wife. And just a couple of verses that I want to talk about primarily. The first one is verse 25. I wish we had time to read this whole passage. It's very important. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loves his church. Christ has modeled that love for us in his life on earth, in the way that he dealt with his disciples who were representatives of the church, which is his bride. And so as we go through Scripture and we see the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ had with his church on earth, his disciples, we learn what his love is toward us, and not only that, but what our love as husbands should be toward our wives, and also what our wives' relationships should be to their husbands. So here are some thoughts on how Christ loved the church. Again, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Notice this little word, as. It sets up an analogy between Christ's love for his church and the husband's love for his bride. He is to love his bride again just as Christ loved the church. Now we know that no husband can love his bride just as Christ loved his church. But with the aid of the Holy Spirit, we can imitate that love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he loved us. He loved us faithfully. He loved us selflessly. He loved us constantly. He loved us without expectation of return. He loved us with all knowledge. And while we husbands can't do that, we can imitate much of what he did and what he taught us. So how did Christ love his bride? Or how does he love us now? That's what we want to be thinking about for the next few minutes. Again, taking the disciples as representing the church, there are a number of things that we can see in Christ's love. First, and I'm just going to list about 100, no, probably a few less than that. There are probably that many there, but we'll just look at a few of them. First, the word loved in this verse, as all of you know, is agapeo. And it is a word that means something very specific. There are three Greek words in the New Testament for the word love. And this is the most sublime. This is the word that means to seek the highest for another person. That's a husband's job toward his wife. And that's Christ's desire for you and me as his church. This isn't talking about romantic love. It's not talking about sentiment. It's not talking about passion. It's not talking about emotional love. It's talking about an attitude. It's not Hollywood. Forget that. It's not your favorite soap love. That's not what this is talking about. It is a volitional love. It is a decisional love. It is a love that one makes by decision and therefore can be commanded. That's why in this verse we have an imperative tense. When Paul says, husbands, love your wives, is a command. Because we can do that. We can make a decision to do that. We can obey that command. So he's speaking about volitional love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's an attitude that we're to have toward our wives. All the time, an attitude. I'm sure you don't do this, but every now and then my attitude goes south. And I have to immediately, if not sooner, say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I came across like that. I'm sorry that I said that. Well, Christ loves the church in an attitude of love. He loves us so much that He gave Himself for us. Second, husbands, love your wives. It's a present tense. And that means it is to be a continuous action. On the part of Christ, His love for us never ceases. It never diminishes. It's constant. No matter what we do, what we say, He loves us. Husbands, that's to be our attitude toward our wives. The Lord's attitude is one of constant care, constant protection, constant mercy, and constant grace toward His church. We husbands need to think of ways we can do that. Think of ways we can be continually loving our wives. In fact, it's probably going to be good for a lot of us to study ways to love our wives better. Christ loves us in all these ways. Third, it's active voice. That is, it's a verb of action. It's not passive. Husbands, love your wives. It's something that must be demonstrated. In fact, Romans 5, 6 says this, God showed or demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. And we're not talking about husbands and wives this morning, but it's here at every step. So the question comes, husband, how have you demonstrated your love for your wife today? Christ demonstrates His love to us, and He already has here this morning through the reports that were given, the testimonies that were given, through just seeing one another and greeting one another. He loves us, and He demonstrates that love. Fourth, it's in the imperative mood. I love to hear Johann say that Alonzo wanted to study Greek. This guy is something else, 77 years old. He loves the Lord. And he's now found out he has macular degeneration in the one good eye that he has. But it hasn't stopped him. He's going on. So it's an imperative mood. So what this means, husbands, is you're commanded to do this. It's a volitional choice. You can never come to the place in your marriage where you say, I no longer love my wife. That's not an option. You're commanded. It's part of your Christian duty. It's part of your Christian responsibility to love your wife. If you're a Christian, you obey the commandments. And so it's an imperative mood. You're responsible. Christ's love for His bride is eternal, never ending. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His covenant with His bride is irrevocable, unbreakable, unconditional, eternally secure. That's the love a husband ought to have for his wife. That's the love Christ has for us. He's never going to get rid of us. He's got an eternal covenant with us. He loves us. Continually, He loves us. Unconditionally, He loves us. Fifth, He took the initiative in our salvation, in our relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He went to the cross. He did all of these things for us. And Paul is saying here, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We're to take the initiative in marriage as husbands. We're to initiate in the relationship. We're to initiate in problem solving. We're to initiate in spiritual matters. We are to initiate in decision making. That's the responsibility of the husband. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. In order to do that, we husbands have to keep in touch with the one who can solve problems, the one who knows all things. Kind of keeps us on our knees. I don't know about you, but when my wife says, ask me a question, you know, or on the spur of the moment or on the spot, I have to pray fast sometime. What am I going to do? What should we do? How can we do it? You know, we've got to keep in touch. We've got to walk in communion with our Lord all the time to know what way to go, what decision to make. Pray without ceasing. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Sixth, our Lord deeply cares for His bride. He is the balm of Gilead. He is the healing one who sets the prisoner free. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. Thank goodness He knows our frame, that we are but dust. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. When the disciples were weary, you remember Jesus said to them, come apart and rest a while. He knows our needs. He knows us well. Husbands, that's the way you're to love your wife. You're to know her. You're to know her needs. You're to help her. This is important in a marriage. Peter tells husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. The world says, what? You can't understand a woman. But you know what? That's wrong. The Bible says you can understand a woman. The Bible says that women can be understood. In fact, the Bible is the only book that reveals the truth about human nature. Male and female. No theories here. We are all sinners by birth, by nature, and by choice. You can know your wife. Peter says you need to live with your wife according to knowledge. Seventh, He is a forgiving Savior. He loved us without reference to our past. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more, Hebrews 10:17 says. So the husband is to love his wife and forget past grievances. Eight, He shoulders His bride's burdens. Peter, knowing of the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ, bids us cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Cast all your concerns and all your worries upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, you need to remember that. I can hear Peter say, He did for me. He cared. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast your burdens on the Lord and He shall sustain you. We're talking about a Savior this morning. We're talking about a Lamb who is worthy. We're talking about His love for His bride, us. And we're always also talking about our love as husbands for our wives in this passage. Listen to this. I'm sorry, I've got a little cold here. He's a listener. Do you ever think of that? 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. He listens to us when we speak to Him. He hears our prayers. Husbands need to cultivate that characteristic. It seems that husbands have an occupational hazard of being deaf when it comes to the wife's speaking, but not our Lord. Thankfully, not our Lord. He hears us. His ear is open to our plea. And we husbands are to imitate Him. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We have to develop these. We have to cultivate these. We have to grow to maturity to be like our Lord. And ladies, when your husband begins to be like Him, you'll have no problem submitting to Him, obeying Him, deferring to Him, because He loves the one you love. Tenth, He protected His bride. Do you remember in the garden, on that sorrowful last night of His life, when the Roman guard came and Jesus confronted them and said, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth.
And he said, I'm he. Let these go. He protected them. He always had his eyes on his disciples for their protection. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28 of our passage tells us that a man is to care for his wife and protect his wife even as he would his own body. Ephesians 5:28. Even as he does his own body. 11th, here's another thought for you. Our Lord prayed for his bride in the garden. You remember? John 17. He said, I pray for them which you have given me. Keep her from the evil one. Sanctify her through thy word. Husbands are responsible for their bride's spiritual welfare, for their spiritual life. And a husband ought to pray for his wife. The older I get, and the older my wife gets. That makes sense? And the older my wife gets, the more I see the need to pray for my wife. It's hard getting old, but it's hard being a wife. I know that. It's hard being a wife. And husbands, listen to this. Christ prayed for his bride. He prays for his bride today. He is the intercessor. He is the one who stands at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Have you prayed for your wife today, husband? Do you pray for your wife? We're told to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and he prayed for his bride. 12th. This doesn't go on forever. Just a couple more. You know, you don't want 7. That's perfection. You don't want 13 because that's bad. You want, so we got 15. We could go on and on. But listen, 12. He loved her faithfully. John 13:1. Listen to this. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Again, marriage is not a temporary arrangement. Marriage, according to God's word, is till death do you part. And so we know from the word of God what we must do and how we must do it. So again, what God has joined together, Jesus said, let not man separate. So Jesus Christ will never separate from us. He loves us. He gave himself for us. He is going to be faithful to the end. He loved us to the end. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. You might want to read that because the question comes up again. And Paul asks rhetorically, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes through all of these things and how none of them can separate us. And the conclusion that he makes is nothing. There is absolutely nothing in this world or the world to come. Nothing, including yourself and your own sin, nor any other creature. Nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He loved us to the end. And husbands are to imitate that. 13. In this passage again, chapter 5, verse 29, it says that he nourishes and cherishes his bride, the church. Now, again, we come back to us as husbands. Do you nourish? Do you cherish your wife above all? Do you cherish her? For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, as King James, even as the Lord does the church. Did you know you're cherished this morning? You may be single. You're cherished. He wants to nourish you, and that word simply means to build you up and give you strength. That's what the Lord Jesus. Husbands, is that what you want for your wife? To build her up and to give her strength. And cherish means to tenderly care for, to give her warmth and tenderness. Is this what you are thinking in your relationship to your wives, husbands, your job, should you choose? What is it, Mission Impossible? To love her, to cherish her, to nourish her, to keep her, to protect her. All of these things the Lord Jesus Christ did. Another thing that our Lord exemplified was unselfishness. 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, that how he was rich with God, that he became poor for your sakes, that you through his poverty might be made rich with God. He was totally unselfish. He had all in heaven with God the Father, and he humbled himself and became a man, took upon himself the form of a servant, and went to the cross for us. Philippians 2:6 says, he was totally unselfish. Husbands, how are we doing? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Or we're selfish about our time. We're selfish about so many things. 15, finally. But this is just the man's part. There's something else that love involves, and that is rebuke and discipline. And you remember the Lord Jesus in his conversation with Peter about his coming death, when Peter rebuked him and said, "No, Lord, be it far from you." And Peter attempted to deter the Lord Jesus from the cross. And our Lord rebuked him sharply. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not," or "you do not regard the things of God, but the things of men." That's Matthew 16:23. So rebuke is part of love, and discipline is part of love. And there are times when judgment must begin at the house of God, and genuine love cares enough to bring discipline. Husbands, love your wives. Now, quickly, the other side of the word of God to wives in verse 22. You didn't escape, wives, I'm sorry. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The words that we have just read were revolutionary when they were written, and they are revolutionary today. But they are the standard for Christian wives. The world standards, in the eyes of the world, this standard is regarded with almost total disdain. But it's God's standard. Our culture calls for aggressive women and passive men. Yet Christians are called to a different kind, a radically different kind of life. If you've chosen to live by God's standards, then you will meet criticism and you will meet disfavor as a wife in the eyes of our culture. And unfortunately, in the eyes of some believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and some church members. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The bride's relationship to her husband is to mirror her relationship to the Lord. I love that. I think that's a great statement. I think I got that from Alistair Begg. If you've never heard him, you need to hear the Scotsman on the radio. The wife's relationship to her husband is to mirror her relationship to her Lord. Submission to him. It is to be one of submission, one of deference, one of obedience. Be subject. It's in the middle voice, and that means it's more of an appeal than a command. It's not imperative. It's an appeal to the wife. The context shows that this submission
is prompted by and warranted by the husband's unselfish love. So, on the one hand, husbands, if you want a wife that is submissive, you must demonstrate unselfish love and all the characteristics of Christ's love for his church that we've just gone through. Might be good to put it on the refrigerator. Just live them out, and your wife will have no problem with deferring to you when the time comes. Peter says that she is to be subject to her husband, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, 1 Peter 3:1. And there, to submit is again in the middle voice, and it means that the one who submits will be benefited by that submission. So, ladies and wives, there is benefit, according to the Word of God, in submitting to your husband. There are many more. She is to do this as unto the Lord. This doesn't mean that she is to yield the same submission to her husband that she yields to Christ. But it means that this is her service to the Lord. Her service to the Lord is to submit to her husband, to defer to him. This is her service to the Lord. This is a service that she owes the Lord. So, another standard for Christian wives in this passage, verse 33 says this, "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." Do y'all have that underlined, ladies? My wife does. This is simply what it means. Respect and admire your husband. See to it, Peter says. And he's talking to wives in 1 Peter chapter 3. Read that passage. I always thought it was neat. 6 verses for the wife and 1 for the husband. But that one for the husband is a balm. It's difficult. And ladies, when you think, you know, that this is really a hard job description that you've given us, think back on what we've just gone over. And that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And then it's not such a big thing. And if the husband loves you like that, then your submission comes very easily. So, what that means is a wife should never speak disrespectfully to her husband. Disagreements should be made in private, dealt with in private. And finally, one last thing. You know what? When a preacher says that, doesn't mean a thing. But actually, it means almost as much as when he looks at his watch. Finally, there is a word in Genesis chapter 2, 18, verse 18, that is to characterize the wife. And God said to Adam, "It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make for him an helpmeet, or one suitable for him." Now, the Hebrew word helpmeet is a very interesting word. It's ezer in the Hebrew. And it means someone who assists another to reach a goal. It refers to someone who rescues another. It is a title for God in the Old Testament, ezer. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Doesn't that elevate the position that God has given you in this life? He likens you to himself as one who helps. And so he gives us a helpmeet who is like himself, and it elevates the wife in her role as a wife and mother. So the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife is to submit to her husband as the church submits to her Lord. So this passage is God's plan for marriage. But it's more. It's a picture. It's an object lesson of Christ's great love for his bride, the church. And as your marriage, I might say, reflects the image of Christ's love for his church and his church's response to him, then the world will see the picture he wants to see in that object lesson. This is how Christ loves me, the way that husband loves his wife, and the way that husband cares for his wife. And this is what his church means. When that wife I see humbly submitting to her husband and loving him, and that's the way we need to relate to Christ. Now, we want to remember the Lord and the Lord's Supper. And so the men would come forward.